Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed.
Hallelujah.
Yes, it is still Easter.
I know. Weird.
But in the church, we celebrate Easter for 7 weeks because Lent was 6 weeks. And Easter has to be longer than Lent. So I don't know about you, but I thought last week Easter's celebration, our first Sunday of Easter, was so fun. Despite the amount of Sudafed I was on, the energy and joy in the room was palpable. It was great. And today we still celebrate Jesus. Yet perhaps the shininess of Easter has slightly worn off for you. The lilies have wilted. The Easter chocolate is long gone. While the promise of resurrection is still incredibly good, perhaps it feels a little more distant today. We're now back at work, back to school. The chaos of our lives has returned at full speed. The headlines have not gotten any better. I still have all my wonderful human baggage of anxiety and questions and bumbling selfishness, a work in progress at best. And all of this despite the fact that Jesus has risen from the dead. And this is why we get Easter Part 2. We've now switched from the Gospel of Mark to the Gospel of John. And so that very morning, they went to the empty tomb, and it was empty, and it was surprising and shocking. And it's all very exciting, and yet by sundown, the disciples are hunkered down in a locked room. John writes it's because of the authorities. But I also wonder, maybe they were a little afraid of Jesus. For the last time the disciples saw Jesus, he was dying on the cross. And instead of remaining loyal, the disciples all scattered. They denied Jesus and abandoned him to die alone. Not their best or bravest moment. I don't blame them. I probably would have done the same. But if Jesus could defeat death, what was waiting for them? And so here they are, the evening of Easter, a huddled, anxious heap, watching the locked doors. When Jesus appears in their midst, like something out of a magician's act. And instead of berating them for their terrible discipleship, he proclaims this word of peace. He shows them his scars and proclaims peace again. So everything should be good, right? Back to shiny, wonderful Easter. But then in the very next verse, we get Thomas. And he was not in the room when Jesus showed up, and so he doesn't believe this wild story. He needs to see and to touch this resurrection miracle for himself. And so a week later, Jesus pops back in. Mind you, the doors are still locked. And Jesus says once again, "Peace be with you." And he offers his scars to Thomas. I take great comfort in these disciples, or disciples, as my New Testament professor used to lovingly call them. For as the world has convinced us that Easter has to be this joyous, wonderful celebration of new life and flowers and bunnies and chicks and chocolate and beautifully dyed Easter eggs, the Easter stories in Scripture paint such a different reality. Last week, we got terror and amazement and silence. This week, we get fear and locked doors and questions and the need for tangible proof. Poor Thomas gets such a bad rap with that infamous nickname, Doubting Thomas. But actually, Thomas is more of a concrete thinker. He's a realist. Earlier in the Gospel of John, Jesus goes on and on about preparing a place for them. And Thomas pipes up, Jesus, we don't actually know where you're going. How can we know the way? Thomas is the disciple who calls Jesus out on his cryptic sayings, and he asks really good questions. And every time Thomas asks these things, Jesus meets him where he is. For questions are not the opposite of faith. They go hand in hand. For faith is hard to come by. Luther would say, it's impossible without the help of the Holy Spirit and the gift of community. That's why we all said promises to Charlie today, because life is hard. Especially for those disciples who were stuck in these locked places with so many questions in their hearts. Their whole world had been flipped upside down, and there's much to be afraid of. Similarly, dear ones, for us who live by our ancestors' stories and have not by touch or sight, God can feel so distant, so quiet in the midst of so much brokenness and greed and pain this world offers. In this story, we are reminded that God comes to these locked places we try to protect and proclaims a word of peace. Jesus shows up not with an army or a shimmery, fantastic glory, but as we ask our questions, Jesus shows up with his scars. A God who comes to us in vulnerability, understands our pain fully, and invites us into loving relationship. We can trust as we lift up our doubts and questions and our own battle scars, we will encounter life that is really life. And a peace that passes all understanding. Now, every week in worship, we share the peace. Lutheran pastor and writer Frank Honeycutt points out that we have been sharing the peace since at least the Green Book came out, and that was like 1978. But, you know, this is a biblical practice. We've been sharing the peace for a really long time. And some folks love it. It's an opportunity to maybe meet someone new, to say hello to your friends. And the introverts among us wish this was a practice that died during COVID. You know, at my field ed site in Camden, New Jersey, Bridge of Peace Lutheran Church, the sharing of the peace would last at least 15 minutes. Now the introverts are really sweating. You had to share the peace with everybody. And if you miss someone, they would find you and pull you out of your seats. And for that community, it was a joyous thing to be greeted and to share a sign of peace. Because in Camden, the murder capital of the country at the time, you didn't know if you were going to make it to the next week. It was a gift and a celebration to see one another. And so they shared the peace with gusto. Honeycutt wonders, what would happen if we took our cues from Jesus in sharing the peace? Peace be with you, Marge. And here, take a look at my cardiac bypass incision. Peace be with you, Randy. And let me tell you about the bills I had trouble paying last month. Peace be with you, Sally. And I'm sure you heard about my nephew who's struggling with a drug problem. What would it look like if we shared the peace in this vulnerable way, where we let our scars show? Today is the fabulous jazz singer Billie Holiday's birthday. It's Billie Holiday's birthday. And in 1999, Time magazine declared her song, Strange Fruit, the song of the century. The song was originally written by Abel Mirapol, who's a Jewish school teacher and poet and activist from New York City, and a photograph of a lynching in Indiana some years earlier deeply disturbed him, inspiring him to write this song, Strange Fruit. And the song eventually made it to the only non-segregated nightclub in Greenwich Village, where Holiday sang. And so as a way of raising awareness about lynchings, Holiday adopted this song as her signature. And at the end of her show every night, the club would bring the lights down. They would pause all table service.
and put a single spotlight on Holiday as she sang this haunting anthem. Now, as I think about her bravery and willingness to keep pointing to the scars of our country, the awful way we inflicted fear and pain and death on our neighbors of color, I'm in awe. I think she took this Easter Part 2 really seriously, knowing that we can be fully embraced by Jesus' proclamation of peace when we look and touch these scars. And it makes me wonder, where else are we called to voice our questions and be witness to the scars? How can we be brave and trust that Jesus promises to meet us in these places, these vulnerable, hard, tough places? For this is the work of resurrection. Remember, death has lost its sting. God's love remains here for you forever, and there is nothing that could ever change that. And so what can we do as Easter people to help bring this abundant life to one another? What would it look like to share our vulnerabilities with our greeting of peace? Trusting that the community can hold all of who we are. And perhaps by sharing these things, we learn to leave our doors just unlocked and maybe even a little ajar. That perhaps Christ's peace for us in this, and this Christ's peace for us and in our scar sharing, we remember that the life God invites us to is actually not in a locked room, but it's outside in the sunshine where we can fill our lungs with fresh air. And hear this proclamation, peace be with you. For alleluia, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.